You believe that? That a team accomplishes more? We believe that here too. One boss was asked, how many you have working for you? And he said, about half of them. Today we're talking about all of us. All of us. So this isn't a sermon for somebody else. This is a sermon for you and for me. All of us need to hear this. That all of us need to be about empowering one another. As you know, we're in a series here. Let's read it together. Engage, empower, expand. I hope you've been wearing your band around town and just getting an opportunity to open a door. Like, what's with all these orange bracelets I keep seeing around town? Just think of 400 or 500 people wearing those around town. That ought to make some sort of impact, don't you think? And then you get to say, well, at our church, we're talking about engaging everybody. We believe that everybody needs to be welcomed. And we believe in empowering people. We believe that everybody's been given a gift from God that they can use for the glory of God. That we believe in empowering people, and we believe in expanding because we believe that God's kingdom cannot be sterile. It must always be marching forward. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about empower because that's the way you get to the next step of expand. You got to empower people. Every great leader understands this. And any leader that doesn't understand that isn't a leader for long. You've got to always do all that you can to empower everybody around you. This is my mantra to the staff, isn't it, Pastor Kathy? I'm constantly telling our staff, we must be about empowering others. This is more important than anything else that we do, is empowering everybody else. We really believe in that here. So I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul's saying that very power is available to you. The power of the resurrection is the power of God's people. Isn't that awesome, huh? And now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. Has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is the body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Which means that the Holy Spirit is working everywhere. And the Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us to live our lives. And because we believe that here, we do not believe that we should be limiting anybody. We want everybody enlisted and growing and enjoying life in the Spirit because we really believe in this here. We know that this is God's way. He has always been about entrusting people with responsibilities. I just want you to think about biblical history. You know, this is why we do not accept this notion that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We don't accept that here. We just don't think that's biblical. It's just not of God. There's no way that's the way it's supposed to be. We are convinced that absolutely everybody needs to have a part and share in the ministry of the church. So today we're talking about how God has entrusted people all along the way. This has always been the way that God did it. I mean, think about creation in itself. You know, God made everything, and he made it glorious and wonderful. Even God himself could call it good. It's good stuff. But then he created you and me. And he gave us rational minds and an opposing thumb. And before the fall, and it's really important we catch this, before the fall in the garden, God said, tend the garden. Think about that. Work is not a result of the fall. Working by the sweat of our brow is a result of the fall. But always it has been God's mission to expand his work to all his people. And that's what happened in the garden. He said, Adam and Eve, tend that garden. See, God could have done it all, right? Why didn't God just do it? Because he knows that it's important that every one of us have a mission, that we have a meaning to our life, that we know that our life matters. I mean, God wants us to know that your life has absolute importance. that whether or not you do what you do, you know, a lot of things are dependent on that. There are consequences to your life. You matter. Every single one of you matter a lot. And I know you've been raised in some homes and sometimes at the ball field and along the way where you believe that you weren't created for great purposes. But I got news for you. That's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is you were created for glorious purposes. And there's not an exception to that in this entire room. Everybody has been entrusted with those type of things. God wants you to feel entrusted. Remember when he told Moses, you know, go down to Egypt and save my people? Do you remember that story? Well, Moses is like, I'm not good enough. I can't do that kind of work. Are you kidding? God said, I'll be with you. You go. You know, God's not waiting for you to get equipped. He does not call the equipped. He equips those whom he calls, right? And he has not waited until you get to some level where you feel like, well, now maybe I can serve the church because I learned all this theology and all that stuff. Friends, that's not what it's about. It's about stepping forward with what you have at the moment and getting engaged and empowered to do the things that God has called you to do. God has done that through the entire Old Testament. You might remember how he gave them judges. He always gave leadership. Leadership's always important. We need leaders. That's important. But because people without a vision will perish. So it's so important that we have leadership. But he would raise up judges to help to lead the people. But you might remember how they said, hey, can we have a king like everybody else has a king? What did God say? Well, why do you want a king to rule over you? You don't want a king. You got the King of Kings already. What you need is just leadership. God always gave leadership, whether it was over the tribes or over the families or over the kingdom. But he always gave leadership. But he just didn't want them to have a king because he knows that kings control power and he wants power distributed to all people. This is the way God sees the world because he wants you to value your life and know that you're called to great things. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus arrives. You think, well, now that Jesus is on earth, certainly we don't need people doing anything anymore. I mean, he's walking on water and turning water to wine. Do we really need people involved in this? It wouldn't seem like it, but the very first thing that he does in ministry is call 12 people to follow him. And he wasn't satisfied with 12. He then called the 70, because you might remember that he sent the 70 out in twos to all the towns. And that was before his death and resurrection. He always believed that it was important that people were engaged in this and empowered. And he was always doing his best to help people to see that he was not happy in doing it himself. He's happy when we are involved in it. And he knows that we find our purpose and our meaning and live our lives in a way that we understand that we're a child of God. You are a child of God. You just sang it, right? Do you believe it? And that means we're part of the family. We got family business, friends. And when I was growing up, I mean, when the family was doing something, I did something with the family because that's the way it is. The family just, everybody participated. And great things happen when we do this, doesn't it? I mean, marvelous, marvelous things happen when people believe that God is empowering them. Have you ever thought about all that has happened because God empowered people? I mean, Jesus calls 12 apostles, pours the Holy Spirit out upon them. We know that there were 500 believers that saw him after his death and resurrection. And immediately he starts adding to the church thousands. And that's turned into millions. And it turned into billions to this day. And it's still going on. And God is still doing amazing things. He went into war zones and established hospitals. He went into ghettos and established schools. He went into safari and established universities. It's amazing what God can do when God's people step up and participate in what God is doing. But there are things that will not happen, and there's redemption that will not happen, and there are souls that will not be saved if God's people don't do God's work, because God has called people to do this. He can do it, but what kind of a God would he be? He said, your life doesn't matter. I'm just going to do everything. He's called us to be redeemers. And there is redemption that will be missed out if you miss out on your call to do what God has called you to do. And there are some things that you can do that I can't do. Some things I can do that you can't do. Some things that the person sitting next to you or across the church can do that you can't do. But something you can do that they can't. There's someone you can talk to that they can't, but you can. All of us have to be engaged. Every one of us has to be empowered. All of us have to be doing our part. And when we do that, now for sure, we still have a leader, right? I like this. The master's home. Yay, says the shepherd. You're late, slave, says the cat. We know who's in charge here, right? We're not a cat. God's still in charge. He's still the one giving the power. He's the one that's all-powerful. And you know, if you want to have power, you have to share power. And God, being all-powerful, shares all power. And he displays it and shares it throughout all of creation, especially to the climax of his creation, human beings. And he is so excited when he sees his kids doing his work. If you have kids, you get this, don't you? I mean, is there anything more marvelous than when the kid gets the family business and owns it? It's a marvelous thing. You know, this is what Jesus said would happen when he left. We've read this together before, but let's read it again. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to the Father. He really believed that we would do greater things. And when you think about everything that we've done and the things that he did in his 3 years, we did some pretty amazing things through the course of history, haven't we? Because God wanted it that way. That's exactly the way God wanted it. Because he's not about just getting things done. He's about relating to people. You know, we have just been through a really good series, I believe, called the Real God Series. There's an 8-week series where we talked about God revealing himself as God reveals himself. And we talked about how we needed to have a good understanding of who God is as God has revealed himself. And that's awesome, isn't it? It's good to have a good understanding of it. But I'll tell you, we can know all that stuff, and we can have the best theology in the world. And if we're not moving, we're not worth anything. And so this sermon is a good follow to that great series of 8 weeks of the Real God Series. Because we need to be now taking everything that we know and putting it into action. God calls us to it, and he expects it. And I'll tell you, this whole 2080 thing is a sickness. It's an absolute sickness. I don't know why we ever bought into it. Actually, I have a theory. You want to hear it? You might remember that during the modern era, as the modern era is developing, that there were factory specialists, people that went into factories, and they told people how you ought to do things. They would study the movement of the hand and the most ergonomic way to the fastest way to get from this position to this position. And they specialized, and they said, you will put this part on this part, and that's what you will do all day for the rest of your life. Well, they got really good at that part. And the modern era worked to a great extent. I mean, factory expansion, people got wealthier. You know all about the modern era, the Industrial Revolution and all that. And they did such a good job of that, they said, let's take that to the church. That worked wonderfully. You know, we've got managers that are watching all the workers, making sure everyone's doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Let's do this at the church. Well, that works great producing products. It works terrible in developing relationships. And we are not about pushing theology and creeds here. We are about people building relationships with God and with each other and with the world. And that's what we must be about. And you cannot do that by each one doing their little specialization and nobody having any power and everyone like, you do exactly what I tell you to do, exactly the way I tell you to do it, when I tell you to do it, no other exceptions. That doesn't work. And so we believe in empowering you to say, here's your job, take ownership. You are partners here. You know, this membership idea that came into the church, this whole notion of membership, it's a sickness that's affecting the mainline denominations to our day. When we talked about, you know, how many members we have, how many members? Well, big deal how many members we have. How many people are we sending? That's the real question. Now, membership's important. I believe in membership. But if you see membership with the connotation that it has, just like we see people aren't being called employees anymore, have you ever noticed? You walk in a restaurant or a store, what are they called? Associates. It's partnership. Because he understood that employees said, I don't have any responsibility here. I just show up, work my 8 hours, take my pay, and I don't have to answer to anybody. It doesn't matter whether I did a good job or not. But ownership is everything. You know, I was raised on a dairy farm, and my father was a master of handing out responsibilities, and he gave authority to do it while he did it. He would tell us what we needed to do, and then he would tell us, you know, I want you to get that field mowed over there, or clean that pen over there, or milk those cows. And we were in charge, elementary school. And my father had to do that because he was running a large dairy farm and had a bunch of boys to raise. He didn't have the resources that God has. He did it out of necessity. But I'll tell you the end effect of it is, you know, my dad died when I was in seventh grade, but he raised a bunch of leaders because he taught us responsibility and ownership. And I understood that I could make decisions that even the hired help couldn't make because I was a member of the family. And I had accountability too. See, you're a member of the family. You're a child of God. You're a child of God and a partner here at Grace United Methodist Church. And we need every single person to take responsibility to make inroads into the world for the kingdom of Almighty God so that lives might be transformed. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5. Let's read it. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. You know what happens? When you buy that, ordinary living becomes unthinkable. You just can't think like that anymore. I mean, if you're born again and have received the Holy Spirit, you have no business living an ordinary life. You just don't. Nobody can live an ordinary life if you really buy this. If you buy that Jesus Christ died on a cross and then said, I have all authority and I'm giving that authority to you. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You buy that? A Christian should buy that. That's a basic. If you buy that, it's got to change you. You got to understand that ordinary living is impossible after you buy that. You can't. There's no way. I'm just not buying it. When I hear people thinking that they're nobody, I just feel sorry for them. I mean, we cannot afford low living. It comes at too high a cost. Way too high a cost. And we've got to be doing the best that we could possibly be. I really believe this. I believe that we've got to give our very best. And if we don't give our very best, there is redemption that's going to be missed out. Don't you believe that? I mean, we have a mighty job to do. There's so much redemption that needs done in our fallen world. And if we're not doing the redemption, who will? God has called us to it. Ephesians 1:19. Let's read it together. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Isn't that an amazing thing that he's praying for? This is my prayer for you. I pray that you will understand the power that you have. I pray that you will understand that God's mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is yours. And that you will buy Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to believe that about yourself. Sing it with all your heart. I'm a child of God. I am empowered to do amazing things. No more ordinary living for any of us, right? You know, the world's corruptions really can be fixed by us. I mean, great things happen when people believe and do the things that God has called us to do. Great things happen. The world's turned upside down. It has done amazing things. And we can, that job's not done. There's still redemption to be done. Have you noticed? You know, we got to pray for the widow, watch out for the oppressed, and write letters to senators and congressmen and presidents and to the city council and, you know, all those things. We've got to work for redemption in every way that we can. So much redemption that needs done. But it takes everybody to do it. You know, I think of fishermen. He was always bragging about how he caught his limit every single time he went out. So, like, he was always bragging around town. And finally, a game warden that he didn't know found out about it, decided, I'm going to go undercover, and I'm going to find out what's going on with this guy because no one else is catching their limit every time they go out. So he says, he befriends this guy, and eventually gets him to take them out fishing. So they go out on the boat, and they get in the middle of the lake, and guy pulls a stick of dynamite out of his pocket, lights the dynamite, throws it in the pond, and a bunch of dead fish float to the surface. And the game warden takes out his credentials and says, "I gotcha." And he didn't even blink. He lights another stick of dynamite, hands it to the game warden and says, "Well, are you going to just stand there or are you going to fish?" Friends, you going to stand there or you going to fish? I mean, if we're going to be fishers and men here, it takes all of us doing our part, don't you think? Every single one of us got to jump in the game. You know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he said, you know, personally, I'm just anti-slavery. He said that before the Civil War. Martin Luther King, you know, writing from prison. Hey, nonviolent, this is the way to go. This guy's fixed a lot of corruption. You can fix corruption when you believe that you can and that you believe you have an impact. 1 John 4:4, let's read it. "But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world." I believe that. How about you? Got to have vision to change the world. Every person doing everything they can in every corner they can to change everybody they can at every chance that they can. There's no time for being sloppy. I believe that we should be the best oil machine in the world. We have the best mission. We have the power of God. How could we not be the best instrument, the church of Jesus Christ in the world? I tell you, we've got to get enlisted. You know, and here's the thing. Empowering connects people to the Holy Spirit. You know how that works? When people are empowered and they start doing things of the church and of Christian spirit in the world, they become more in touch with God. If you don't do it, you don't sense your closeness to God. You got to get beyond yourself to experience God. If you're self-centered, I'll bet you don't experience much of God. When you get beyond yourself and start working for redemption, you will be amazed at how you start. Have you ever gone on a mission trip? How much fun that is, and how close you feel during that mission trip to God? You've ever put yourself out there and taken a risk for God? Do you know how that changes you? I mean, I think one of the problems of mainline churches is that we're doing okay. We've got good buildings. We've got money in the bank. We're good here. Just hire someone, get it done. That's when a church is in trouble. Because that's exactly what happened on the way up. When people were saying, the itinerary pastor came through, preached a message, it kept going, and the church had to be the church all week long. Because the pastor was preaching 30, 40, 50 miles away on horseback. The church was growing and flourishing. And then they said, "Let's hire a pastor. Ah, we'll even hire a secretary. And things get real good, we'll hire a children's director. Things get real good, we'll hire a youth director. Things get really awesome, we'll hire an associate pastor. They'll do the church." See the danger? And none of you are experiencing the power of God. Because here's the thing, when I was pastoring, being a district superintendent of 100 churches, and I would travel around to churches, and I would hear some really terrible music and even worse sermons, and I would think, if that's the totality of their spiritual living, I feel sorry for them. And then I came to Grace Church, where we have awesome music and I think half decent sermons. I try. But I'll tell you, I wasn't asking for that. No, don't do that. But hey, I'm convinced that a spiritual life is far more than great music, a decent sermon, and a donut. It's got to be. It is. Friends, we believe in empowering around here. Because we empower, we do things like food pantries, where there are people doing all this work on their own. There is not a staff person involved in that. Mission trips that are organized to Mexico and Puerto Rico and Tennessee. All those things done by volunteers. Not a single staff person arranges that. Your finances are all managed by volunteers. We do not have an accountant working this. We have volunteers working your finances. We have finance, accounts that oversees all this. We have people that, trustees, that work around here all the time, volunteering to do everything that they could possibly do to make this place such a welcoming, warm place. We have people worshiping in one service and then working at another service, walking the halls, making sure that everybody's safe at the different services. We have people doing all kinds of things like this. They even have a group called GEMS. Have you heard of GEMS? You know, that's this small group that's by no coincidence called God Empowering Me. But they get together with a little bit of music and a little bit of scripture and a devotional and encourage one another. Say, let's lose some weight here and get healthy and do the best that we can with this. It's a great little ministry. We have all kind of things like that, all kind of small groups led by lay people. It's the way it needs to be. Because people become leaders when they're empowered. It connects them to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of somebody, something's going to change. Ephesians 3:16, let's read this together. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. It's very risky, well, everything that I'm talking about, isn't it? You've got to put yourself out there to be empowered. You know how risky that is? And you know how wonderful it is? I'll tell you what, I love it when people risk. Because when people risk, they find out amazing things can happen. Nothing good has ever come from people that won't risk anything. When you risk, you know, everything that's worthwhile is a risk. I want you to think about the founding of this country. 1492, he sailed the ocean blue, right? Quite a risk, wouldn't you say? But he found this great nation just flowing with milk and honey. Incredible place. Would never have been found if he hadn't taken a risk. And through the years, this being Veterans Weekend, you know, I mean, just think of all the people that risked their lives defending us, defending liberty. All that work and all that sacrifice and all that risk so that we can be here and be worshiping freely this morning. You just heard it doesn't happen in every country. Aren't we fortunate, Christabel? Risky living is the way. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of Jesus Christ. What a risk he took, huh? 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. And it has changed life after life after life. Things have changed. Things have been redeemed in this fallen world. It is triumph that's found by taking risks. You know, falling in love, one of the most wonderful things in the whole wide world, is really risky. Have you noticed? You put your heart out there and say, especially marriage, you know, for the rest of my life, I'm sticking only to you. Friends, when you take that risk, it's a huge risk. And yeah, there may be some crosses to bear along the way. But it's worth the risk. I would encourage all of us to be willing to take these risks. Throw yourself out there. Things happen when you throw yourself out there. You will get connected to the Holy Spirit. You will find purpose and meaning in your life. You'll be more satisfied with who you are. You won't lay down with any guilt or emptiness. You'll know I'm involved in something way bigger than myself. So I encourage you today to surrender to the cross. Totally surrender to it. The cross is what raised Jesus Christ to the highest place of honor. Everything good takes risk. Why don't you risk it? Nick, kick a hole in history. Do something dramatic. Change the world. Don't be satisfied with an average life. Do amazing things. Do God things. you've been living a very safe and secure, very lame life, this is a call. I got to tell you, we have well over 200 people in our three services who are very involved. They are very involved in kingdom work. And there's a couple hundred in our three services who are not. I'm talking to you, okay? Get involved. Get enlisted. Get engaged. And we'll empower you. We have a thing coming up called Kingdom Assignments. I'm going to be handing those out in 2 weeks. We sent letters out to people who were nominated by council and by the mission team. But I got to tell you, we have some that couldn't do it for one reason or another, and we've got some more that we can do. And what that means is we want to give $100 to adults or $25 to kids and $50 to college students. And to say, if you want to do a mission where you just take $50 and invest and do whatever you want to do, we're going to give you the money. And if you'd like to take us up on that, give me or Pastor Kathy the idea. We have room for a couple of people, and we'd be more than happy to enlist you. So let us know what you have planned, and we will make sure that you get enlisted and empowered so that you can just, you've been dreaming about supporting a Heifer Project or Bears or whatever you want to do. We'll give you the seed money to do what you have in mind. So we want to empower you. Please be in touch with us very soon. We want to do this a week after next. So friends, please feel empowered as the children of God today. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord God, these are your kids. Oh, would you smile on them, Lord? Please smile on them. Bless them. I pray that you would work in their lives. I pray that they would not settle for low living, that they would know that they're called to greatness. Please use them, Lord. Please help them to rise above the small ideas that have been pressed upon them by parents or grandparents or uncles, or kids at school, or wherever that negative stuff came from. Lord God, remind them that they are your children. Work in their hearts and minds. You've given them incredible minds and opposing thumbs. All things are possible. And I just pray that you would bless them and use them, Lord. Help them to use some of those gray cells that are laying dormant. I just pray that you would work in a marvelous way. These are incredible people, Lord. It's such a joy knowing them. And I know you know them even better. You know everything about them. And I just pray that they might hear you whisper into their heart today. Just whisper to them, the pastor's talking to you. Rise above it. Rise above it. Lift your eyes to heaven and rise above it. Rise above every negative message you've ever heard. Accept the freedom in Christ who empowers all. Glorious One, I pray that you would bless each family, each one who's taken the risk to love one another, who's taken the risk to say, I'm sorry, or taken the risk to say, I forgive you. Given us the power to forgive, even. That is amazing. Thank you, God, for empowering us to do these things. Pray that you would continue to empower us. Help us, Lord, with all the different things that anyone is dealing with. There are some who took that great risk of marrying someone that they loved so many years ago. But now that person is falling on times where they're not feeling so well. Death's waves seem to be working in their lives. Maybe they married for richer, expecting that, but they got poorer. I just pray that you would provide for your people, that you would embrace them and engage them in your ministry in this world. Please empower them and let every single person walk from this church feeling empowered, knowing, Lord, that you are the one who does the empowering, that we only have the power that we share here at Grace. We thank you for the power that you have sent and the way that you are working through our leadership And just pray that you would continue to spread it to every single person in our congregations. Please use them to your glory. Oh God, we pray that you would show us how to continue to engage and empower. And that you would expand us, not so that we could be a great church, there's plenty of those around town, but that, Lord, that we might be able to do your duties, and that we might be able to sense your presence and feel your purpose in life. God, use us. We want to thank you, too, for bringing Ray Reinbold back among us. We've prayed so hard for him. And we thank you that he's here today. Just pray you continue to strengthen him. We pray for others that are in the hospitals and care homes, and that they might not know that or not feel that they're forgotten. Oh, God, we pray that each one of them would know that they are still empowered, for they can pray for us. What could be more important than that, Lord? So help them to be praying individuals. Remind them that they have a very important ministry to do for us and for your kingdom. Now, Lord, we pray that you would grant us safety as we go out on this work day. There's some things we're going to be doing around town and in yards and at Chevy Chase Center. And we just pray that you would give us safety as we go and do these things, and that we would have many hands to make light work. We ask all this in Christ's beautiful and perfect name. Amen. In just a moment here, we'll be going, after our closing song, if you want to join one of the work teams, we're going to be doing some yards and going over to Chevy Chase and cleaning the whole place. They have a community dinner coming up over there, and we want to help with that. I know it seems kind of weird to be doing it on Sunday, huh? If you're having trouble with that, please understand that this is not doing work to benefit ourselves. This is work for others. And you know what Jesus said about that. Okay? So let's get off our high horse and get to work. Okay? So, all right. Please stand and worship with our band.